far as historical record is concerned, we know, most of us know a lot of this. Scholars believe that the first human settlements in Jerusalem took place during the early Bronze Age, somewhere around 3500 BC. And in 1000 BC, King David conquered Jerusalem and made it the capital. His son Solomon built the first holy temple about 40 years later. The Jews lived in their land virtually uninterrupted for 1700 years until Rome destroyed it in 70 AD, the diaspora. Josephus, Roman emperor's historian, wrote that 4 to 7 million Jews dwelt in Israel. In 37 BC, King Herod restructured the second temple and added retaining walls to it. And of course, Jesus was crucified in the city of Jerusalem around AD 33. The Romans destroyed the second temple in AD 70. In AD 632, Muhammad, the Islamic prophet, died and was said to have ascended to heaven from Jerusalem. And since then, many European Christians started pilgrimages to Jerusalem in the first century AD from about 1099 to 1187. At the breakup of the Turkish Empire at the end of World War I, both Jews and the Arabs requested independent states. World powers were generous in the extreme to the Arabs, granting them 22 independent Arab states, 5.4 million square miles. Jews asked for less than 1% of their vast territory. Allies agreed. In 1921, England reneged and cut off 77% of the land promised in the Balfour Declaration and previously set up the Arab Emirate of Transjordan. In 1922, the League of Nations qualified the Jewish national home to be established in only 23% of Palestine, including Samaria, Judea, Gaza, Golan Heights, and eastern Jerusalem. Palestinian claim? Well, the Romans named the land about Israel Palestine about 2,000 years ago. And before 1974, there was really no claim until President Yasser Arafat brought it to the world's attention. He claimed that the Jews invaded what was Arab and land beginning in 1881, and he claimed the land was a burdened, fertile area. Nothing was further from the truth. The area was a wasteland and a barren area. The land was at the end of the Jewish double in 1845 years that was prophesied in Isaiah 40 verse 2. Again in Jeremiah 33:10, we read, "Again there shall be heard in this place which ye say, shall be desolate without man, without beast, even the cities of Jerusalem, and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate without man, and without inhabitant, and without beast." In Zechariah 9:2, we read that, "Turn to you the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even to today do I declare that I will render double unto thee." Mark Twain spoke about the land of Israel from his book, The Innocents Abroad, saying, "Palestine sits in sackcloth and ashes. Over it broods the spell of a curse that has withered its fields and fettered its energies. Palestine is desolate and unloved. It's a hopeless, dreary, heartbroken land." So what Yasser Arafat called the invasion was actually the return of the Jews to their homeland in fulfillment of prophecy. And in addition to the land grant or the title deeds that we're familiar with, the scriptures given in Genesis 15:18, Exodus 23:31, Deuteronomy 1:7-8, and Deuteronomy 11:24 declare the faithfulness of God in giving that land to Abraham and all of his children. We read in Deuteronomy 7, verse 6-9, where God says, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn to his fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of the bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. Does God play favorites? Scriptures that indicate otherwise are Matthew 5:44-45, where he says that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain to the just and the unjust. And Ecclesiastes 9:2, which reads, all things come alike to all, for there is one event to the righteous, and one to the wicked, and to the good, and to the clean, and to the unclean, to him that is sacrificeth, and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner. So he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath. We all know of Jehovah's watch care and sovereignty, and what shall we say of his care? That we don't step in. We read in Isaiah 43:10-13, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he, and before me there was no God formed. Neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared, and I have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Our conclusion is, God did select a natural seed to deal with out of all the families of the earth. And a prophecy that indicates to us that he will once again deal with the natural seed of Israel is those familiar texts in Jeremiah 31-37, when he says he'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Another scripture that associates the natural cycles of the heavens and the earth is found in Jeremiah 33:25-26, with respect to the nation of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then I will cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy upon them. Of course, these cycles will never cease, since we're told that the earth abideth forever in Ecclesiastes 1:4. Therefore, Israel will never cease to exist and will fulfill all of the prophetic utterances regarding that nation. In Amos 9:14-15, he promises to bring again the captivity of his people of Israel, and he will build the waste cities and inhabit them. And in Isaiah 2:2-4, we read that it will come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the mountain top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And that familiar scripture that we see engraved in the United Nations in New York is, and he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up nation sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. So in closing, as we've briefly seen the immensity of God's care for his difficult people, let us praise him for his wonderful care over his attentive people, the church. Amen.